title of my paper is The Spatial Machines of Slovene Experimental Theater of the 1980s and 1990s. And I'll make, for the introduction, I'll quote two sentences. In her excellent book, Play Spaces, the authority of Slovene stage design and theater architecture, Professor Meta Hočevar, uses the following statement, which will be the first starting point of my intervention. I quote, "A theater is a kind of machine." To this short sentence that relates strongly to the discussions and topics of this very symposium, I will add a statement by the famous French theater reformer Antoine Vitez at the opening of the unfinished theater, Théâtre de Chaillot, in Paris in 1975. This sentence relates to the current exhibition at Ljubljana City Hall and as well as to the symposium. It reads as follows, I quote, "This theater is unfinished architecture, and that is good. What will give it the finishing touch are the performances and the direction." End of quotation. I think we should take these two sentences very seriously as a kind of a motto for this symposium and for our attempts to unravel some of the basic features of the experimental theater in the second part of the 20th century. I will proceed with some reflections on what Alain Badiou, the French philosopher, in his excellent book calls Le Siècle, or the 20th century. And for this I will use also a small quotation from, a famous quotation from French decadent poet Charles Baudelaire, N'importe où, hors du monde, or in English, anywhere out of the world. In the field of theater and performing arts of the 20th century, the unrest, Alain Badiou's unsolvable division between ending the old and starting the new, was marked by a series of revolutions that stirred up the configuration of the stage and the theater hall. Parallel to numerous turns from the dramatic towards non-dramatic, the post-dramatic, and the primacy of the space and the stage, there recurred a series of re-examinations, a dismantling and recreation of the notion of the stage. The common denominator for all these endeavors was the doubt that the black box, as the doubt in the black box as the prevailing model of the Western European modern theater. The 20th century was characterized by constant newly re-emerging crisis of classical representation and the Baudelairean wish to escape this world, namely that of Italian black box bourgeois theater. Together with Baudelaire, the avant-garde theater shouted, "N'importe où hors du monde," and to paraphrase French decadent poet once more, wanted to be better off there where he was not. We were witnesses to new experiments that wanted to move away from the black box theater, which was thought to be framing classical theater in its realism and literariness. It is therefore not surprising that the experimental theater in Slovenia established, the first experimental theater in Slovenia established in 1955 by Bina Baranovic, tried to abolish the black box and the frame it provided and replace it with the theater in the round, following the example, of course, of the living theater. But Primož Jesenko and Ivo spoke yesterday about this crucial point in the history of the Slovene theater, and we saw also one of the photographs and several photographs of her theater in the round. Of course, when we have a look at the living theater performances, we see that the frame is similar, but of course it is adapted to a theater in Slovenia which was much more classical than the living theater, which was not happening, but it was really theatrical events. Like many theater reformers from the previous century, Baranovic tried to step away from the classical theater reception, which our colleague who just came in, Barbara Oro defines as the castrated regime of the camera obscura, a definition for the visual order of the black box theater, in which the audience, as observers within the camera obscura, are assigned to a seat in a dim theater hall, watching a performance unfold independently of them. End of quotation. The dynamic changes in concepts of theatrical stage can be seen as a dialectic relationship between the black box and the real unframed space. But I prefer to use for this purpose Yuri Mikhailovich Lotman's term semiosphere and the traversing of borderlines within this semiosphere. We can thus see changes in play spaces as animated dynamic process of the theater, a spatial machine characterized by a parallel passages from real to formalized space, from frontal to circular and multi-centered space. From the eradication of the borderline between the stage and the auditorium to the constitution of it and the mobility of both fields, the traversing of one into the other, their interexchangeability, the revolving stage, the mobility of the elements of the stage and the auditorium. The spatial machine and its mutation have constantly been, often unsuccessfully, but nevertheless, subject to theatrical examination. One of those is now quite famous book by German theater theoretician Hans Thies Lehmann, The Post-Dramatic Theater. Lehmann sets two principles. First one is the centripetal dynamics of the space. For example, Grotowski's reductions of distance between the actor and the audience, the stage and the auditorium, constituting physical and psychological proximity. We saw yesterday very, very illustrious examples and a wonderful film about Grotowski's system. Here we see one of the Slovene performances, it's the Pathwalker or the Potohodec, the Pekana performance, which basically uses the Grotowski's concept and develops it in another way. Here we see another influence, Grotowski had an immense influence on American avant-garde theater. We see the Schechner's Dionysus in 69, and we see another example of the public entering into the Schechner's space. So we see how this centripetal dynamic evolved in different environments from the original, let us say, in a way, Polish environment. And then we have the second principle, the centrifugal effect of the vast space. And as an example, Lehmann gives a very interesting, of course, performance. The Gruber's performance at the Berlin Olympia Stadium, and it's Winter Rise. It's the famous performance he did at the Olympia Stadium. And of course, we can see this centrifugal effect. Of course, it reminds us on Leni Riefenstahl and her films. And of course, we can see, I can state one of the examples from the 90s. This is the example of Matjaž Berger's Konc 5, the celebration of 5 years of Slovene independence, which basically uses the principles of the centrifugal effect of the stage. This was done on the biggest square in Ljubljana with army sports, and really the centrifugal effect was very, very strong. Lehmann traces a unique change in the understanding of theatrical space, the transition to the post-dramatic aesthetical space in the early 1980s. This was a time when directors like Gruber, Stein, Nushkin used different ways of staging big tableau and re-examined the appearance of the stage. They abandoned the principal interaction with the audience, which has been hailed by the activist period of the 60s and the 70s. For Lehmann, the fundamental premise of, or a signifier of these new understandings of the stage is the principle of the tableau, a playing field for space and the surface, scenic montage, a new relationship between time and space, site-specific theater and heterogeneous space. Today, of course, we are here, so the transitions that Hans Lehmann describes with the notion of dramatic, post-dramatic. Throughout the last decades, Slovene theater and performance practice have persistently changed and mutated the dynamic between the participants of the theatrical event and studied the relationship between the performance and the audience. Parallel to this, there has, of course, also been a corresponding change in the relationship between the stage and the auditorium, from theater in the round in the 50s to empty space, to extreme proximity, to contact between the performance and the audience, for instance, in Lado Kraj's production of Dane Zajc's Potohodič we saw before. And even prior to that, we have another very interesting example that Primož Jusenko also spoke about. It's a performance of Topla Greda, or The Cold Frame, by Marian Rožanc from the 1960s. This is another picture of another theater in the round, but it's Afera by another Slovene writer, Primož Kozak, who was also staged in this very cold, but it was also staged in a much more non-classical way. And here we have a picture from Topla Greda, the performance which was violently interrupted by the audience and in which the two autopoetic feedback loops, I use the terms of Erika Fischer-Lichte, coincided. The first one, which was planned by the creators, it was planned that the actors were sitting in the middle of the audience and they were basically reacting out of the audience. In this way, they want to get to omit or to go away from the fourth wall, which they really did not want to have in the theater anymore. And so this was the planned autopoietic feedback between the performers and the auditorium. But the second one was basically directed by the politics. They brought 20 or 30 people with the bus who basically shouted that they agitated and they exasperated the audience, which was basically interrupting the performance and literally taking in on the part of the agents of the action. The scene thus altered from the space of representation into a real space of a political conflict, and of course the performance was after that banned. We have another example of this fusion in Pupilja, Ferkeberg's famous performance, which celebrated 40 years now. To go to the 80s and the 90s, which are basically the topic on which we concentrate, we can say that, of course, all those changes within the theatrical space and within chronotopos of the theater were very much connected, of course, to the political situation. And we had a short look at the political situation of the 80s and the 90s in Slovenia. We can summon them in the following way. The 80s were marked by the death of Edvard Kardel, the leading Slovenian and Yugoslav communist ideologist, and of course the death of Josip Broz Tito, the state party and military leader. The two deaths announced cataclysmic collapse of the two huge stories, which were organized by the Yugoslav state domination, ideology of self-management, ideology of socialism and fraternity of Yugoslav nations. This period marked a tectonic break in relations between literature and society, but at the same strong break between theater and society, which are reflected in the first true power of the political theater, of which we're going to see some of the examples. And we have a look at the 90s, the situation was in a way similar. Within the specifics of Slovenian territory, the 90s were marked by at least two political moments, which have also occurred at the beginning of the decade, the process of independence and the end of socialist self-management. The two processes, to use words of Slovene philosopher Mladen Dolar, occurred at the same time as, I quote, the biggest cut which hit the Slovenian identity and culture, Slovenian independence. This meant a break with the par excellence authority, the establishment of new statehood and the new parameters of social and spiritual life, the incision which made impossible both the return of the socialist and pre-socialist time, end of quotation. So, of course, we have examples of reversal of roles of audience, actors, and auditorium, stage relationships, some strong examples. We have them also from the mid and the end of the 70s, and one of the very good examples is a performance based on a play by Dušan Jovanović. The play is titled in Slovenian Igrajte tumor u glavi ali onesnažene zraka. In English, it would be Act a Brain Tumor and Air Pollution. This was performed in 1976 in a Celje theater. And of course, what we see is the stage. The stage reconstructed the classical auditorium of the classical theater, which then radically changed into the reality. So we have the theater in Celje is not very classical. It was done, I don't know, maybe Ivo knows when it was built up in the
20s. Yeah, it was reconstruction in the 50s.
So it's a reconstruction with the 50s, and that it doesn't have this classical shape, but they deliberately put it this classical shape, which they destroyed the illusion later on. And another, of course, example which we're going to see a bit more closer is an example of Misa in A minor, which Ivo announced yesterday, and he told the prehistory of the performance, which was basically already they began to work on it at Pekarna Theater at the end of the 70s, and then it reemerged in Mladinsko Theater in the 1980s. Even more apparent, of course, example of this vivid time of the political theater is Misa in A minor and some other performances directed by Ljubiša Ristić. We see the lower hall of the Mladinsko theater. It's a basement, and we basically see the position of the Misa in A minor performance. We see that the public was seated in the middle on small chairs, and that basically the revolution, which was eating its children, so to say, I mean the Misa in A minor, was going on all around the public. So the space was completely changed. So in the production of Misa in A minor, and then in some other ones he did a bit later on in 1983 till 1985, namely Romeo and Juliet, which was based on Shakespeare, but it introduced flashes of real life, and then Leviathan, based on a novel by a Slovene writer Vitomil Zupan, and then The Reality, based on another novel by another Slovene writer. Ristić declared all the halls of this Baraga Seminary, which is a Plečnik building, which was never finished, a very interesting building, which was never basically planned for a theater, but which in the 1960s with Mladinsko theater in Baranović became the theater hall. But this basic, the basement hall, of course, was... I will tell what it was. Ristić declared all the halls of Baraga Seminary, designed by Plečnik, as a utopian realization of the total theater. He changed the halls into non-theatrical spaces, creating empty spaces which were modeled for each separate performance. We see this is very bad image of example of Craig's empty space. It's a Hamlet production. These spaces were liberated from the conventions of theatricality and declared lieu unique in the sense of course, of an Antonin Artaud, spaces with no borderlines. In them, Ristich proposed his own post-dramatic commentary on the grandeurs of dramatic literature and contemporary non-dramatic scripts based on novels. Theatrical space as an architecture entity was replaced by a unified space without borderlines, which were persistently created by total theater and inhabited by actors and the audience, constantly generated unique relationship. The unfinished or non-theatrical spaces of the Mladinsko Theater suited the artistic approach, his artistic approach perfectly. Festival Dvorana Hall, the venue for social dancing, the social cinema was the second space, today's Mladinsko Upstairs Theater, where the screening of films altered with theater shows for young people, and finally the vacated and rudimentary non-renovated former warehouse of the bicycle factory, which we saw before and which we're going to see once more. Nowadays the Mladinsko Downstairs. Here we see some examples of the total theater, the Piscator, when Piscator directed Toller, and we'll proceed to the, we see some more pictures of the Misa in A minor performance in Mladinsko theater. And this is Leviathan by Vito Mizupan, also directed by Ljubiša Ristić. So what Ristić did, he seemed to derive from the postulates famously summed up by Antoine Vitez in the beginning of my presentation. I can quote Vitez once more: "This theater is unfinished architecture, and that is good. What will give it the finishing touch is the performance and the directions." So basically what Ristić did, he really he took the theater space of Mladinsko, or non-theatrical space of Mladinsko's unfinished architecture, and he put it, he finished it in a way with his performances. He used the cell of the building with its peculiarities in order to produce a strong utopia of theatrical space and time. In the second half of the 1980s, we saw work of the new, then called new directors of Mladinsko theater and the evolving independent scene of the time. We could mention some names which are probably familiar to you. One is Tomáš Pandur, the other Janez Pipan, and then Vito Taufer and Dragan Živadino. And they all refer to Ristić's experimentation of liberated theatrical spaces. And of course, also to work of Mushkin, Brook, Stein, Wilson, Russian historical avant-garde, and some other influences. Živadino readdressed and reinterpreted the neo-avant-garde forms of the total theater in a series of retro-gardist events, such as Baptism under Triglav, Maria Nablotska, Hinkeman, Fiat, Zenit, Capital. Here we see basically a label of Laibach music group, but with the picture of a performance of the Baptism under Triglav. And of course, the performance is very complicated in itself, in its iconography. Here we see another photography from Baptism under Triglav. And then we see, of course, Adolf Appia's pictures, which were deliberately used. And then Caspar David Friedrich. So iconographically, he was using also a lot of fine arts history, and he was using as a ready-made also Vladimir Tatlin's monument. I'll try to get on. Okay. Monument to the Revolution. Here we see the original one, and before we see it, how they reconstructed it and reused it in the performance of Baptism under Triglav. If there are some more scenes, we can see the very strong influence, of course, of Robert Wilson, which we cannot deny now. And of course, we could, if you could see the video, we could see of course the very strong influence of Meyerhold and his biomechanics. We can see in a way also this and that picture. This is another performance where he built up a unique, it's a performance in which it's a, he built up a rail wagon, which was at the same time a rocket, and it was basically the public was watching T.S. Eliot's murder in the cathedral, which was of course adapted, and he basically built a unique in which he could travel around and present it. Here we see the inside of the theatrical space, which of course has very much of a cathedral qualities in it. And there's another example of his performances from the 1990s, the Prayer Machine Norden from 1992, in which he built a special relationship, of course, with the public, which was at the same time centrifugal and centripetal. We can see half of the public was seated in the normal seats as the audience, and the other half of the audience was basically sitting on the stage. They were part of the stage. They were sitting like here, with just their heads above the floor of the proscenium of the auditorium and of the stage, and the dancers were basically sitting. And so he was very much playing with different procedures. He wrote, of course, special libretto in which we can see of a lot of allusions to the theatrical space and concepts of the space within the history and of the theater. And we see, of course, also his allusions to what he did later on and what will return just shortly. So, to summon the 1980s, the late 1980s and the early 1990s brought the ultimate demolition of the borderline between the theater and visual art, and drew nearer to the new understanding of performance art as an interdisciplinary art of the spectacle, which has derived from the tradition of the happenings of the artistic groups Oho, Pupilia, Ferkewerk, performance art of Pekarna, the early stages of the Glade Theatre, and also, of course, the American and European theatrical and visual neo-avant-garde. The mutations of theatrical spatial machines embodied different politics and strategies of performing arts. Bojan Ljubljanovac, for example, took the exploration of the relationship between text and geometry, the visible and as an illusion of the invisible. Marko Pelkan and Matjaž Berger in the early 90s drew from the samples of historical avant-garde, the American theater of images and performance art, and developed open rhythmical scenic structures. We can see, I think I had some photos, but probably this is, okay, maybe we'll return to them later on. Emil Hrvatin established the genre of performativity of theory through detailed examinations of time and space. In the 1990s, the concept of anti-space as established by Craig and Brooke was consistently developed also by Meta Hočevar. Her production of Dušan Jovanović's Antigone, Uganka Courage, Puzzle of Courage, and even more the paraphrases of the Ibsen's Wild Duck and Mishima's Hanyu. Here we see the sketches for Ein Familien album, which was produced for Wiener Festwochen, and the performance was actually taking place in the old Alte Remise, old tramway station in Vienna. And of course we can see a concept of total theater, specific, unique, Professor Hočevar could explain maybe something later if he would want to. This is another sketch of it, and we see that the audience was basically, those are the rails of this remise, and of course we see the stretches, And the public was looking at this sad story of Hedwig, because the performed that Wild Duck was told from the point of view of the daughter, who then, and we were watching this story as voyeurs, really intruding into the intimate world of the family. And to speak about this principle, how you see this principle, the space functioned as unique form of theater of images, which, like the work of Robert Wilson, derived from tableau, but despite the conceptual architectural framework, did not materialize in abstract and geometrical content, but rather in concrete content. Meta Hochevar, in her book Play Spaces, defines this process as follows. I quote, "The space is the proof for the story. I believe the story because I believe the space. The elementary systems of relations which define a theatrical performance develop between the visual and the acoustic parts, between the poles that complement each other, contradict each other, illustrate, compromise, oppose, and correspond to one another." End of quotation. Now we can see some examples. This is an example of Bojana Blanović's performance with very bad picture, but the public, this is basically how the public was sitting on beneath, and we were seeing the performance upstairs, and it is a strange readaptation of Galileo Galilei's story. The title of the performance was Helios, and here we see another example of theatrical space it's basically a basement of a secondary school, very small, very physical theater, and of course the space used in a specific way, and it's the first performance by Betontan's group, and the director is Matyáš Pograjc. To conclude, throughout the last two decades, the tactics of landscape plays, visual dramaturgy, scenic essays, metonymic space, framing, screening montage, aesthetics of speed, the question of aesthetic versus the real body, and intermediality, to enumerate some of the terminology used with and about the space in the last 10 years, took the Slovene theater into heterogeneous spheres of contemporary performing arts, at the point of intersection with various artistic mediums that have enriched the field of the theater. The spatial machines of performing art follow the principle of Alain Badiou's restlessness, embody new interpretation of classical stage, and establish new variants of utopian concepts of the neo-avant-garde, such as empty space, total theater, and lieu unique. And as an extreme, or not an extreme, but as a very far-looking example, we always begin to think about Dragan Živadino and his project concept of the theater in the zero gravity. Here we see two pictures from the film that Austrian television did with the parabolic performance in which the gravity zero appears for a few moments, and he basically works in a very specific space. And this is another symbol of his 50 years very complicated project, which I think he will explain us at the end of today's sessions. At the same time, as Wilson and Sensible part of American theatrical avant-garde decades ago, the performing arts keep returning to the black box, which is understood similarly to Lotman's semiosphere, namely a dynamic space of transition and crossing of borderlines. It functions as a space of liveness in which centripetal and centrifugal processes take place. If we return to Badiou, the century did not make a choice in this field, which is why we move together with him between beginning and ending, between the classical space and the empty space. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Tomasz Topruk.